Before we get to today's podcast, I want to remind you about another great ESPN podcast, the Woj Pod. Every week, Woj chats with the newsmakers in and around the NBA, players, coaches, executives, and more. This week, he's chatting with Max Kellerman of First Take about the Knicks, so be sure to check that one out. Download and subscribe to the Woj Pod and the Right Time wherever you get your podcasts. Let's talk about Daniel. A year ago, he resolved to stop putting off what he wanted to do, get into information technology. Daniel enrolled in My Computer Career and is already a few months into his IT career. Make 2020 your year. There are millions of unfilled cybersecurity positions in the U.S. right now, and My Computer Career is training people to help fill them. No IT experience or education? No problem. It's not rocket science. It's My Computer Career. Go to mycomputercareer.edu and take the free career evaluation today. You can start your new life as an IT pro in months, not years. Attend classes on campus or live online just twice a week to get what you'll need to start your new career. More than just a school, My Computer Career helps you get into the industry by working with hundreds of employers that hire our students. My Computer Career is nationally accredited and financial aid is available for those who qualify, including the GI Bill. Classes start soon, so make new year, new career your resolution and take the free career evaluation today at mycomputercareer.edu. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to The Right Time. My name is Bomani Jones. Thanks for listening wherever you get your podcast. Rate us, review us, give us 5 stars. You only give us 4 stars. I'm inclined to believe you are a hater. It is that time of week where we get on with guests. We have a returning superstar here. Check out a Bleacher Report with her show, Take It There with Taylor Rooks. As you may have guessed, her name is Taylor Rooks. What's going on?
You know, I'm good. I'm happy to be here this time, not hungover.
I was
happy about that. Last time, it was the morning after my birthday. It was a rough one, but we made it. The walk over here was much more pleasant.
You were such a champ, though. Like, I remember, like, the morning it came out, and I was just like, okay, let's see. And I was like, nope, you showed up. Your road dog was with you. She posted up over in the corner on the floor, and you made it.
I think Chelsea might have fallen asleep. I was like, it is crazy that I'm up. I remember I did the podcast. I went home and knocked out. No. But it was a very fun episode, so it all worked out.
I have to say, though, my level of Taylor Rook respect went sky high at that point, because I knew it was a struggle. Like, I was looking at it. I knew. He sent me a text like 4 o'clock in the morning. It was like, yo, any way we can change this? And I was like, unfortunately, there is
when
not.
You said no, though, I knew. I was like, all right, I'll be there then.
Yo, you champed up, though.
I'll be there.
That's what I'm saying. You champed up. You were like, yo, this is what we got to do, because there's a whole lot of people that would have been like, I don't know what to tell you.
I would never do that to you, Bomani.
That's what's up. Rapport. It is here. And season 2 of Take It There with Taylor Rooks is here.
It is.
How you feel?
It's been fun. I definitely like this season a lot more than last season. And I enjoyed last season a lot, but I just think this season feels a bit more like me. It's a bit more fluid. I like the pacing better. I just think there's more personality in this one, which is a lot of fun.
And you're learning, right?
Yeah.
Like this is, I think, a show, right? Whether it be television or anything else. You don't know how much there is that goes into it until you, like, actually do one. Because, like, the kind of TV that you've done before and the kind of stuff that I typically do, they kind of come into setting this whole thing up, by and large, right? Like, we got segments, we got blocks, we got all these things. It seems like with a project like this, it's a bit more, all right, we got the cameras, we're going to show up, and then we're going to figure this out kind of as we go.
No, absolutely. And, like, so I'm executive producer on the show.
Oh, so, titles?
You know, a little thing there. I know, I love at the end, it, like, says host and executive producer. It's like, my favorite thing. But yeah, so much work goes into doing one episode, and it's honestly so little time. I mean, from the time that you have a guest confirmed to when you do the episode is sometimes 2 or 3 days. So, you know, you have to sit down with these people for like 2 hours, get the best content you possibly can, and things go so wrong. Like, the very first episode this season, I had originally gone to Boston to interview a different Celtic, right? And the night before the interview, they had to reschedule it. Keep in mind, I'm already in Boston. So if you cancel the interview, you essentially lose an episode because the kill time is fast. So you have to pay the crew regardless. So I'm like, we're in Boston for the first episode we're recording and we're not going to record it because we don't have a guest. At maybe 11 o'clock after a Celtics game, I was like, listen, Jalen, I'm in Boston right now. My guest just canceled. Can you do me a solid and do this interview tomorrow? He said yes. I had to come up with an entirely new episode in like 12 hours. Mm-hmm. So it's like the turnover for doing things is insane, but I don't really think that you understand that when you just watch the show. Like what you have to prepare for and so little time and so much work, it's a lot. But things like that happen all the time. Guests cancel, unlike me.
There you go.
But yeah, it's a lot that goes into it.
You should be ashamed of yourself, Jason Tatum. I don't even know if it is Jason Tatum.
It was not, I will not say who it was.
All right, then. Fine, then. Gordon Hayward, how dare you? You had a chance to break out to a whole new market.
No, and it was the cancel. It was out of their control. Yeah, yeah. They're great. It was just, it puts you in the worst possible position.
Now, cancels are a trip because, like, in the kind of stuff that we do, we can, like, find a way around it.
Yeah.
There is no find a way around it in what you've got going.
And you really are in such a bind. Yeah. I mean, like, that's essentially an episode that you probably would lose. So instead of doing 8 episodes, I'd probably have to do 7.
Right.
Because the budget for an episode went away because we were already there.
Right.
So luckily, we just plugged in a slot. Atlanta dude was looking out for me. He was like, all right, if I have to do this. So it ended up working out.
Let me tell you this too, man. I got to go to Boston. And then the reason I go to Boston ain't there no more. You know how furious I would be? Like, I am coming here for work.
It was bad. And I was like in bed, ready to go to sleep. And I'm like, wait, what? We don't have an episode. It was just, it was a lot.
Jalen's a dude I haven't met, but he seems to be really sharp. Like
he's
seems to
really
be really
sharp.
Bright.
And it's like, he didn't have to do that. You know, but it was like he had done my podcast, and we talked about this on the episode, but he even said in the episode he was beefing with me a little bit because we did this interview at the beginning of last season where he said he was going to win 5 rings, and he felt like all the headlines take it out of context. So he was not with me at all. So just the fact that he did it, I was like, you're such a good human being, and I'm so appreciative that you did it because I really would have been screwed. But you'd like him. Like, you would like him.
Did he hit you with the, I can never stay mad at you?
No.
Did he hit you with that
he
one?
He was like, I hate that you're in a bad position. I'll do it. Like, he definitely didn't want to do it. But when I explained, like, what was happening, he realized, like, okay, if I don't do this, she's actually kind of screwed, you know? And he even said in an episode, he was like, I just feel like Atlanta people look out for each other. Like, I'm not from Atlanta, but Georgia. So it worked out.
I so respect your willingness to claim your Gwinnett as Gwinnett and not try to make it into some Atlanta.
I'm
not
fraudulent, you know? I'm not. It is Metro Atlanta. I'm very proud. I'm very proud.
I think you'll appreciate this, right? Because I am barely from what you would call Houston, right?
Yeah.
But it is where I'm from. There's no other name from it. But cats from the south side of Houston have no respect for anything in the north, and this is the way north, like all of this stuff. So I'm always trying to defend my Houston. And then I didn't go to school in Houston, so then I got to explain this again, right? Yeah. Like I'm always defending my Houston. So I'm in the office, and Damon Jones, you know, former NBA player is here, and we're talking about something, I can't remember what, and he's like, and you know, where I'm from in Houston, and he kept talking, and I just looked at him, and I was like, we calling Galveston Houston now. Like, is that what we doing? Like, are we calling? But that was the first time in my life I have ever been allowed to say that to somebody. I have never been able to regulate on somebody's Houston ever before in my life.
Really?
But he claimed Galveston, and I was like,
we not doing that.
Bridge too far. Bridge too far. That's a whole nother area code.
Because, okay, but if we're being honest, I would never, but if someone is from Gwinnett and they say Atlanta, like, they're wrong, but it's not that crazy.
I would disagree.
You
I would disagree.
I know. You think it's one of the Carolinas.
Yeah, that's right.
But you think it's that crazy?
It's somewhat generational, right?
Yeah.
Because, like, basically, Gwinnett is not quite what it was, right? Like, you got Migos and stuff now, right? But I am of an age that basically remembers that Gwinnett County is a place that white folks go to because they don't want to live in Atlanta no more. And so if this ain't Atlanta, then damn it, this ain't Atlanta no more, right? Like once you went all the way out there to run away from us, fine, you're gone, right? Once you get outside 285, I'm just kind of, I mean, maybe not, I don't even know what's outside 285.
We are not, that's you, yeah, you kind of try this right there. We are not outside at 285.
You're not outside 285?
No, we are not outside 285.
Where you at?
You, like, if I'm in Atlanta, I would go right up 85 and get off at, like, exit 111. Like, it's not outside of
you know, I don't do that north, so I don't know what the numbers mean once you get out there.
No.
Is it past Jimmy Carter Boulevard?
Yes.
Okay, then we're not counting this.
But, like, 2 exits. Like, maybe 2 exits.
That's all it is, man. We got to draw the line somewhere, right? You can't be like, yo.
I draw the line. It's not Atlanta, but I'm just saying. I don't think Gwinnett, Atlanta is as crazy as Galveston.
No, it's not that crazy. Yeah. It's not that crazy. You're correct, right?
It is. That's all I'm saying.
And see, and people look at my Houston kind of as a Gwinnett sort, except my address say Houston, Texas, right?
So you got lucky with that.
Yes.
So my mom is way different than me. She will say Atlanta when she went out from Atlanta. And she's, and I use that argument. She's like, Taylor, if I did write Atlanta, Georgia, it would come to our address. I'm like, I don't think it would. I think it would bounce back to Cinder. Now, you better write Lawrenceville.
Now, where's your, yeah, Lawrenceville, that ain't Atlanta.
But it's literally like Lawrenceville to Luisiana. Like, we could probably write any of those and it would make it. Like, we're right on the border of all three.
Indeed. Yeah, I say, well, I was born in Atlanta. I grew up in Texas. Like, left there when I was 7, came back when I was 17, and then I'm going to school in the center. So I'm like, we in Atlanta.
Yeah.
And my parents are so Southwest, it's ridiculous. Yeah. My daddy is like, I don't get on the downtown connector. I don't go north. He don't go north of 20. He don't go east of the connector. He's not doing either of those things.
I went really far, further than I've probably gone, not ever, but in recent history. When I was just back at home, because I went to your favorite place, Morehouse, and I spoke to students there, and I was like, all right, I usually get off 85. I don't go from 85 to 20, you know? So, but it was a fun experience for sure.
Yeah, Morehouse. One of those. My alma mater needs to start asking people to come talk. Because every time somebody go down there, I can't be blaming Morehouse because they get the folks. You know what I mean? Like, right. I can't be mad at them for that fact. Now, let's talk a little bit more about this season. Who'd you get this season?
Okay, so far we've had Jaylen Brown, Kevin Durant, Chris Paul. Next week is Tyler Hero. Week after that is Trae Young. Then we record 3 more. They're already confirmed, but I'm always weird about it. It's like, I need to see them sitting in that seat before I say they are. But they are, the final 3 guests are very
good. Hold on, no, we got a trick. You can tell me and Gabe will make it so nobody hears it but us.
Okay.
Thank you for your patience. A representative from the right time will be with you shortly. Your current hold time is
15 seconds.
Up. Let's talk about Chris Paul, because I've seen the clips of you bowling. It was Chris Paul and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. Yeah. I hope I got his name right.
You did.
Woo! There we go. Because I see that Shai. I'm of, again, generation. S-H-A-I. Like, that's Shai, like the group, If I Ever Fall in Love. And he probably look at me like, who that?
Yeah.
It probably got named after it. Don't even have no idea.
That might be true. He might have been named it. Yeah.
He's around that zone. Yeah. He's around that age. We do things like that.
It's crazy. He's born in like 98. I'm like, what? That's why my sister was born 98. That's so young. 21. Can't even imagine. And I am not, I was just 21, because I wasn't.
You were not just 21, but you were born in 1992, which
is
crazy.
Yes, I'm about to be 30. Yes, if I turn 28 this year, that's basically 30.
Oh, you're rounding it all the way up. You're taking it all the way there.
Yes, 30 is right around the corner.
At your big old age of 27.
Yep.
I always say when I was 27, I was like, if I live to be 28, then clearly I'm not as impressive as I thought. all the dope ones don't make it that far.
That's
you
true.
You know, you get past 27, I got to start looking myself in the mirror and be like, really?
Your life is a little more boring.
Yeah, you think you're somebody, huh? You think you're some kind of star? Okay, that's what that is. But did you compete in bowling against Chris Paul, or did you just bowl?
Bomani, honestly, I am the most competitive person that I know. I don't take any of the games on this show as jokes. Got second place bowling with Chris Paul. I was very upset about that. What other games are played on the show? Beat Jimmy Butler in spades, though. That's one thing I'll say. I don't lose in spades.
You were not here for that at all.
Yeah, I don't lose in spades. I don't care how good you say you are. I can meet someone that day and then be my partner and we will win. Mm-hmm. Very competitive in all the games I play on the show. Only one I lost so far, like totally lost, was I played Connect Four with Saquon Barkley and I lost. But I'm bad at Connect Four. I'll take the L. Michael Jordan took a couple losses. But yes, I was very competitive with bowling with Chris Paul and Shai for sure.
Well, I also imagine Chris Paul being wild competitive in bowling, because he doesn't seem like he can turn it off.
Yeah. He's so competitive. He's also an avid bowler.
Yes,
he's very
that's
avid
his
bowler.
Bag.
Yeah, so he won. But
now, was this at his house? Because I saw the alley and it looked kind of small, so I thought he might have had one at the crib.
It was the private room in a place called the Dust Bowl in Oklahoma City. But it was a really good time. Yeah.
Yo, let's talk about this right now. Shout out to Chris Paul from going to L.A. to going to a city that has places with names like the Dust Bowl.
I know. Or like, I mean, Houston. I mean, going Houston, OKC is like.
But at least, that's right. He was in Houston first.
Yeah.
That's right.
Like, Houston is jumping.
Well,
like,
I mean, keep in mind, I grew up in Houston. My mom was from Oklahoma City. They stopped making me go on trips to Oklahoma City when I was like 14. Like, I was at the house by myself at 14. Just because, no, I'm not doing that. I'm just not doing that no more. Like, I was just, like, I had the thought of Chris Paul being like, nah, we just gonna do this fun bowling thing, and then, nah, we about to do this.
Oh,
and then
yeah.
you looking at him like, yeah, we about to do this.
1,000%. Like, did not back down at all. Like, I was ready. I was talking trash. But it was crazy. Like, it's true when people say competitors really, like, hike up your competitiveness. Because
mm-hmm.
he'd get a strike, and I'd be like, I have to get a strike. So I'd get a strike. It would be like, we would be going back and forth. And the better he did, the better I did. Because I was like, I cannot lose. I cannot be dead last. We had push-ups on the line. It was crazy. But it was really nice to see this genuine, like, little brother, big brother relationship that Chris and Shea have, and really that Chris has with a lot of the young guys in the league. Even when I interviewed Trae Young, he's like, Chris Paul is who I look up to. Donovan Mitchell, Chris Paul is who I look up to. They almost all say Chris Paul, which I think is a little different from what we hear about Chris Paul, which is that everybody hates Chris Paul.
Yeah.
You know, I have never heard someone personally be like, I can't stand Chris Paul. I've only heard great things. Now, granted, I don't know if somebody would actually say that. But it was nice to actually see in person how much he cared about his younger teammate.
Well, I also imagine that it might be easier to like Chris Paul if you're a younger dude, right? Because like, it's like with Rondo. Like, what seemed to happen with Rondo is Rondo was destined to be a old head mentor, but you can't be that when you're 24.
Because mm-hmm.
now you got all these old heads looking at you like what you think you know. And now when you don't have to establish that to people anymore, then it could be like, hey, come on. Like Kobe Bryant, I think that seemed to be the case with him. Now, what I found interesting in hearing you talk about being like super competitive in that way, your dad's an athlete.
Yeah.
You grew up in one of those houses where your parents don't let you win at nothing?
Oh, no. Like, I have always wanted everything, but Monty, I'm sorry. I hate to bring it to you. I've always wanted everything, but no, it's super competitive. I remember when I was younger, my dad would play this game with me, and it was called Get Off the Mountain. And he would be like either on our big couch or on the bed, and I had to get past him and touch like either the wall or the like the back.
Mm-hmm.
And it took me so long to be able to do it because he was rough. He'd throw me. Like, it was like, you better be tough and you got to get off the mountain or whatever. But then I remember the first time I did it, and it just, the feeling of finally doing it is the best feeling ever. And that's how I feel about winning. I know that sounds crazy, but it's just like losing is the thing I hate more than anything in the world. I'll make you run it back. I don't care if you're up 10.
Oh, you're that. You join on this?
I do not care if you're up 10 and I have won one. We will keep playing until we are at minimum even. And then I'll make you play one more so I win. But yeah, I've always been that way, but my house is incredible.
I was about to say, so you Gigi in your house, or your dad was like, okay, so all right, let's go.
1,000%. We were always going. We were always going, and I think that obviously Kobe passing was so sad for a multitude of reasons, but I do think girls that are close to their dad and seeing like Gigi passing too, it hit a little different because just that relationship that you have with your dad is so incredibly special, and you could see it so clearly with them. Like, that was her best friend.
Right.
So it's just, it was sad all around.
Yeah. Well, I'm always interested in these situations where the dad leans in on the idea of raising this girl, like, and I can't, for lack of a better term, like they would a son. And I mean, like, in terms of like this idea of competition and all this stuff, we associate that with men and men primarily. But when there's a dude that's like, no, my daughter gonna be a killer too.
Yeah. Right? 1,000%. 1,000%. And I think that was really important to my dad, growing up, it was always for him about being a leader. And he would always say, you should never fear people. Like, I was always wanting to be in front of crowds and talking and doing plays and reciting stuff at church. Like, because he said it was very important that I never fear people. Like, when people would get nervous to talk, you're like, why are you scared? It's just a person. So I've always felt that way. Like, I don't get nervous when I'm doing stuff. I don't get nervous before the show. Like, at the end of the day, it's just people. And if I'm nervous, that must mean I'm scared of people, and I'm not. But he was always, just always instilling stuff like that. And I mean, it really does mean the world when your dad cares so much about making sure you're ready for the world.
Right.
Like, I do think a lot of people genuinely aren't ready for the world. But I know when I left the house, I was ready to take it all on. You know, actually, it's funny. My parents wanted to give me and my sister boy names. Like, my sister's name is Ryan. And my mom was always just like, I don't want your name to define you. Like, if they see it on a piece of paper, I don't want them to know.
Right.
You know? So I was like, when I have kids, if I have kids, I want to give them unisex names.
All right, we'll be back in a minute with more with Taylor Rooks. But first, what if a quarterback completed 4 out of 5 of his passes? Or a point guard hit 4 or 5 shots behind the arc? Well, now, when you're hiring, you can play at that level. Because 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. No matter the industry, healthcare to manufacturing to business services, ZipRecruiter makes hiring faster and easier. And today, you can try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/Bomani. ZipRecruiter doesn't wait for the right candidates to find you. ZipRecruiter's AI scouts talent for you. First, when you post your job on ZipRecruiter, it gets sent out to over 100 top job sites. Then ZipRecruiter's powerful matching technology learns what you're looking for, identifies people with the right skills and experience, and invites them to apply to your job so you get qualified candidates fast. And now, to try ZipRecruiter for free, my listeners can go to ZipRecruiter.com/Bomani. That's ZipRecruiter.com/B-O-M-A-N-I. ZipRecruiter.com/Bomani. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
When was the last time you were nervous? Like, now that you mentioned that, when was the last time you were nervous?
To be honest, it was probably when I had to see my ex-boyfriend. I was really nervous to see him. So that was maybe, I don't know, 8 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, I don't get nervous in situations. Like, I just genuinely don't. I know people love to say, like, I never get nervous. But I do not know the last time I was nervous about something. Unless it was personal,
right,
like that. Never been nervous to do a show. No. If anything, I get super hyped.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that's to my detriment sometimes, but never nervous.
Interesting.
Do you get nervous?
I know the last time that really jumps out that I was like nervous, that wasn't like a personal situation,
yeah,
that you described. It was when I had to do a TED Talk.
Where'd you do a TED Talk?
I did a TED Talk 2015.
Oh, I'm going to go back and watch, yeah, that. What was your topic?
The topic, it was called The Freedom of Structure. And the idea was basically about how to do not allow calling yourself a creative to stop you from learning the rules of what the things are that you need to do, right? Like, do what you have to do, and then you can do whatever you want to do, right? So it's kind of understanding, balancing your ego and your idea of what you think something should be, and understanding that there's some things that everybody does, and there are reasons why everybody does them. You're not so much smarter than everybody else that you're going to reinvent all these wheels that are out here.
It's like,
how to figure out all that. And I was petrified, because I do well with microphones, I do well with cameras. Crowds, not the same, right?
Really?
Because they got faces, right? Like, it's the immediate feedback sort of thing. Like, I'm not quite as good at that. The other thing is, your TED Talk's like 20 minutes, and you got to write it out, and you got to give it to them before you do it. And I kept delaying it, because they were just like, yeah, send it in. I'm like, I ain't got to send it to you. I'm Bomani Jones. I just be making this stuff up. Like, I didn't do 20 minutes off the top of my head. Nothing.
But Bomani, there's some things that everybody has to do.
That's right.
And you are not smarter.
Yes. That is what I figured out. And
yeah.
So I get up on the stage, and I couldn't remember the first line. Like, once I got past the first line, I was okay. But I couldn't get past the first line. And the other part is, I got, like, some jokes in there. And, you know, hey, people, laugh, damn it. You know,
they weren't laughing.
Well, it's not even so much that they weren't laughing. It's like, there's nothing that feels worse than when they don't. Right?
Yeah.
Right? There's nothing like when the fart in church goes across. There's nothing quite, like, in that way. So that was, like, for me, that was probably the last time that something had me just kind of, like, Like TV stuff, nah. Whatever.
Yeah.
Like, there's never been a time that I've been nervous about anything involving airspace.
I will say, I'm a little surprised that you get nervous in front of crowds. I wouldn't have expected that.
Yeah, I get a little better after it happens. But
yeah.
I think you notice this about me. Like, I'm not a front of the room type. The front of the room can come to me, right?
1,000%.
But I'm not jumping to the front of the room. I'm leaned off over to the side by and large.
Yeah, and you're people watching.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. I don't need all y'all to love me.
For
right.
Sure.
I'm just looking for one. I don't need everybody else to be out here doing that. But yeah, that's one thing I think that does surprise people, is that you could tell me a million people are watching on television, I got no concern about that.
Yeah.
You put me up there in front of 15 people. Like, I tell you, one of the most nervous I've ever been, I once did a talk for 8th grade graduation, and I was scared to death. 8th grade, they're the worst people in the world, right? Like I was just like, and they ain't really trying to hear it. They don't
yeah.
know who, like, they don't know who I
attention
am.
Attention span so short.
Yeah. I know a yeah. teacher that work at the school, and she got the dude on the radio to come talk to y'all, or
yeah.
TV to come talk to y'all. Y'all don't give a damn about this at all. Y'all trying to figure out who this is. It was hot in there.
Yeah.
And, oh boy, I hate that age range, man.
I know, honestly, I love kids. But it's like, if you're not going to listen, I'm like, I don't know if this is for me. Like, I want that engagement. I want us to, like, talk at the end. I want questions. 8th graders do not care. Or, like, I'll go talk, and the first thing they want to ask, and really the only thing is, Have you interviewed LeBron James? Like, it's like, that's the only thing they care about is who you've interviewed, who you know, and can they come next time?
My thing is, they old enough to deserve to get their asses whooped, but just short of you actually being able to do so.
When you were younger, were you getting in fights?
Yeah. Yeah.
Really?
I think the last time I got in a fight, I was like 15, somewhere in there.
Okay.
Cause they, like, fighting at school, they were sending us to jail. Like they was, they wouldn't play it on now. But no, you get into a few here and there.
Yeah.
It has to be done.
Do you think I've ever been in a fight?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And here's how I know.
Who knows?
Here's how I know you've been in a fight. I guarantee I know this. Because haters exist in every walk of life. That part is number one. And number two, you ain't about to lose at nothing. So, like, when the haters come and try you at age 13, 14, whatever it is, you ain't got no back down about
it. That's
so funny. And that means somebody gonna swing. And if they swing, you know, you got long arms. I see you.
I do. Hey, listen. I got hands. Like, don't let it all fool you, okay? I've been getting off the mountain with my daddy since I was 5 years old.
That's what I'm saying. You've been playing the mountain game. Hold up, Gabe. I want to say something right fast. I just want to point this out here because last time she played all modest about this, she did with the hands, don't let the look fool you. It explained it. Taylor's leaning into this a little bit more.
Meaning, I understand there is probably preconceived notions.
Oh, that's what we're doing.
And these preconceived notions.
That's what we're doing.
Aren't always accurate. Okay. That's all I'm saying.
That's what we're doing. Okay. I'll let you ride out with that one. That's it.
I meant the smile. I meant that I'm nice to every person that I ever meet. But it's like, you know.
You know, I will tell you.
It's in there.
I'll tell you, as you say that, as my homeboy once told somebody in a very similar situation, he's like, cool, we can all pretend like we stupid.
Exactly.
We can all do that. Like,
whatever.
If that's the game we playing, okay, that's cool. Now, you said Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant came on, take
great.
It there.
He was a good episode. It's funny because the thing everybody wants to talk about is that I asked him if he brushes his hair. And he said yes.
What do you brush it with?
Oh my gosh.
That was the follow-up question, not to tell you how to do your job.
Oh my gosh. It was fun. Like, literally every single person was talking about that question. I feel like there were so many better moments, but I just feel like everybody has wondered that for so long. I was like, I have to ask this. But he was really good. I think that one thing I enjoy about that interview is people saw KD in a way they don't ever see him. Like, he was smiling. He was laughing. He was warm. I think sometimes he comes off as not very likable. But I think if you watch the interview, you're like, this is a good person, a regular human being that just wants to talk about basketball and music and, like, Drake. You know, it's like, that was it.
You said it was good.
We talked about Drake in the interview.
He would love Drake.
Your other favorite person.
Yeah, I say he would love Drake. That right there, man. Like, he would be the first dude in line at the store to get that Drake. I've been going through some things.
One day, you're going to, like, get on the Drake train. I don't know when.
No.
I don't know when, but I think it's going to come.
Look. This is what I'm going to give you about Drake.
Okay.
He's really talented.
Okay.
He's really good at rapping. Like, you ain't never gonna hear me say that Drake can't rap.
Yeah.
You ain't never gonna hear me say that Drake ain't got no jams. Like,
So you like his music?
I said he could rap, and he's got some jams.
Okay.
It's hard for me to say that I like his music because there's an underlying ethos that I simply don't respect. There's a way of going. He's good at rapping. He has reached the top of his profession. He's written some pretty good R&B songs. He is a very, very, very talented young man.
I will say, now, even though you're not necessarily a Drake fan, do you recognize the argument that he might be the greatest right now?
Right now? I see why somebody
was saying. He absolutely is the greatest.
Well, here's part of it. It don't matter what I think to a degree. Like, it's like I talk about Tupac. Whether you like Tupac or not is missing the point. The effect that Tupac has on people, that speaks for itself.
Yeah.
I feel like, though, this whole generation, if Drake is your Tupac, you should be ashamed of yourself. This is why my brother said it. He was right. He was like, the issue is not that there is a Drake. It's that y'all let him be the number one dude in the game. There's room for a Drake in the game. You're supposed to have a Drake. You can even have a couple of Drakes.
Who do you think should be number one in the game right now?
Somebody else. We just can't have a bunch of kids. We just can't have a bunch of kids being like, I want to be like Drake when I grow up. No. Now, you might be saying, you shouldn't have had a bunch of kids who wanted to be like Snoop Dogg. But I contend that the life lessons you can learn from the gangsters will take you a lot farther than crying in your room, drunk dialing people.
Drunk dialing people.
You remember when he did that song about drunk dialing?
Yeah,
I'm just saying you could do better. She could do better than a dude drunk dialing her right now. And the idea that you and yours were hearing that and being like, yo, I relate to that. I feel that. I do not.
Have you ever drunk dialed someone?
one time in my life.
So you do relate to it.
Here's what I don't relate to. I don't relate to, like, wallow. I also quit drinking in my 20s.
Okay, so. You have done some drunk dial-esque things.
Literally, I can tell you, literally one time.
No way.
One time. I remember I did.
You've
it.
Never been in love. I'm just kidding.
I was so ashamed of myself after the fact, too. I was just like, I can't believe I
did. Do you accept
this.
Drunk dials? The woman drunk dial you ever?
I'm out the age range. I'm out the age
You think
range.
So?
Yeah, I mean, I've...
Do you ever get out that age range? Please. I'll hope to get there.
Oh, let me think.
What's out of the drunk dial age range?
I don't know. I don't know the last time somebody, like, explicitly drunk dialed me, right? Where it's just like, oh, whoa, this is a drunk dial. This is a...
I mean, they'll say you don't have to be drunk to have a drunk dial-esque call.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. But either way it goes, this ain't something we supposed to be celebrating. You know what I'm saying? That's my point.
I'm saying that's why people like it is because it's relatable.
I know. And what I'm saying is get better. You know what I'm saying? How about instead of if this is what you relate to, you need to start listening to something a little more aspirational, you know?
Okay.
Right. Like that's go in that case. Go listen to some Jay-Z. Maybe one day you'll be a billionaire.
It's one of those things that I remember someone saying, like, one of the reasons people like Drake is because he does rap about a lot of things that people want to be. Like, yes. People want the Drake lifestyle.
Yes.
And I think that's one of the reasons he's like now, Jay-Z used to rap about what he was like.
Yes.
Now he raps about what he is now.
Yes.
You know,
that's
it's just,
fair.
And that's why some people, I think, kind of relate to a little more now because they want that.
Yeah, and I think that... Where I think there's something interesting, like a difference that I can tell, and I'm at that millennial cusp, right? I'm born in 1980. But I can tell, like, on one side of this versus the other, is I find that people my age and older, as we were younger, right or wrong, we really wanted to be grown, right? Like, we really wanted to get out there and be adults. What has changed since then is people are leaning a little bit more in, hey, man, I'm not in such a big rush to get out here into this big old grown-up world, which... is probably smart, right? Like, because this big grown-up world is a bit overrated. It's probably...
A bit.
Yeah. You know, so there's something to it, but you're still supposed to want it and then hit your head against the wall once you get out there on the other side.
For sure.
And that's what I'm saying. You got to want to be better. You got to want a little more from yourself. And Kevin Durant, yeah, I could see him as a... Because when Kevin Durant is in his feels, he does the feels. And I think that people should experience their feelings. They should deal with them as such.
Yeah.
I just don't think you always got to do that in front of everybody.
Okay.
You see what I mean?
That.
You see what I mean? Like, I will never be a person to say that people should deny their emotions or anything like that. But I also think, you know, time and place.
I will say this, though, because that's one of the things that is so interesting about this KD idea that he's in his feelings. What makes you say he's in his feelings in front of the world?
The dude got burners, man. Like, right?
I will tell you this. Most NBA players have burners.
I know. And to me...
Yeah.
That is the most shameful.
Yeah, the only difference is he got caught with the burner.
Well, let me tell you this. Not just most NBA players got burners. I'm out here figuring out. Just people out here in general are out here lurking.
I will say this. I think, okay, important distinction. There's a difference between a burner account and, like, a lurk account.
Correct.
Like, a lurk account is something you just use to look at, like, your ex-boyfriend's story, you know? A burner account is something you use to interact with people.
Yeah.
Like, I have a lurk account, but I've never typed anything from, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's just literally so that if you want to look at something, you can do it on a different account. I'm saying most NBA players have a burner.
Right.
You know?
They're...
But hey, ain't nothing wrong with the lurk account.
See, I do everything on the internet as myself. I got one Twitter account.
That's not,
I got
not doing it as yourself, though.
I got one.
That's just not. It's like you're trying to avoid what comes with them knowing
that.
It was you.
I understand that. And to me, the exchange for that is, I guess I just can't look now.
No way, Bomani. I'm sorry. There is no way you have this amount of, like, self-control and self-discipline. No drunk dial. No looking at someone's story that you want to see. Like, it's just.
Oh, no.
No way.
No, I'll look at the story.
But as you.
As me. Also, I didn't realize for a very long time that, like, people could, because I didn't really indulge in the stories. I didn't start doing that until I started doing it for work. I didn't know that people could, like, see these things or whatever.
Gotcha.
And I swear, man, I was actually, like, people take the he watch my story, she watch my story.
They do.
They take it. Well, here's the reason I say they take it way too personally. Yo, man, you be looking at stories, you scroll, and then it just throws the thing in front of you. I don't necessarily know that you about to come up.
No, that's very true. But for that reason is why it's like, let me switch accounts. Yeah. You know, like you just got to have that account that if need be, emergency situations, you press the 911, you just switch over. You're like, let me see like what this is. But I have never and will never comment from Lurk.
See, I don't understand the burner account just because if I'm going to say it, I want you to know it's me. That's the level that I don't get it on, is that if you just want to vent or whatever, you can do that in a journal. You know, you can call your homies. You can do whatever it is. The idea that I'm going to take this account that has like 12 followers and follows 175 people and got an egg on it, mm-hmm. and I'm going to fire this off. Like, I don't know about you, but those are all telltale signs that I don't need to pay attention to whatever it is that you're saying, and I'm going to dismiss you. I feel like you're not accomplishing your aims.
No, and I feel that. I totally understand what you're saying. Like, that's, I think, people's argument against burners. But I'll say I disagree with the idea that he shouldn't tweet back at people who tweet him from his account. Like, because that's the point of Twitter.
Yeah.
You know? Like, it's not something I do. I don't really engage with people that maybe have something, like, negative or bad to say about me because I genuinely am like, whatever, I don't care.
Right.
But I don't like the argument that someone is emotional if they tweet someone back about something that they said.
Yeah, so to me, what gets me about him doing that, because I agree that doesn't necessarily make him emotional. And, I mean, you're talking to me now, right?
Yeah.
Like we know what my get down has historically been. Not
yes.
not so much anymore. May have noticed the last 3-4 years, I've kind of retreated from the scene.
You've been, like, nicer.
Undefeated heavyweight champion, right? Like, at some point.
But I was going to say, I do feel like when people tweet you, you tweet back. That doesn't make you emotional at all.
I
actually have great replies.
Yeah, no, I agree with that because I think that people, Katie Nolan actually told me this, that she assumed from the way I did this on Twitter that I must just be mad at all these people. And she said that she met me one time and instantly said, oh, this doesn't bother him at all. Right.
Yeah.
Like for me, that was sport. Like I'm just is shooting clay pigeons. Like this.
Yeah.
Is, and I had like there's some deeper purpose to it or whatever it was. But what I wasn't doing was just like having an exchange with just, hey, you bum. Right. No, I'm trying to embarrass you very quickly and then keep this moving. And so what happens with Durant, because I think you'll notice this about also when I used to do this, what I wasn't doing was defending myself. And what Durant seemed to be doing is defending himself. And I think that's the part that makes people assume that there's kind of an emotional place on it. And we've read enough stuff about how he lives in that phone. Like he consumes, like I feel bad for people who have never known a world without this stuff, like without this internet, because I feel like I worry that the way they consume it, since it's always been part of their lives. Like for me, when I first started doing this, I got on Twitter in like 09. My life really started blowing up 2010, 2011.
Yeah.
And so I was able to chart like, oh, wow, look how silly people get once you're on television. But a dude like Durant, you've been consuming all this feedback your whole life. And I feel like I worry that those folks take it more personally than mm-hmm. maybe someone of a different time would, although people my age be out here taking this stuff mad personal too.
For sure. I do believe that to be true. And I mean, I said this on the show too, like I met KD maybe 2011, right? So it's been really interesting to see 2011 KD versus KD now and the way that it's changed, how he's become, you know, like the superstar, changing teams, all these things. And I can genuinely say, like, I think there was this switch where he stopped taking it personally, what people said, but he felt a personal tie to it.
Got
Does
it.
That make sense?
Yeah.
Like, not necessarily that his feelings were hurt or he hated that person, but he felt the need to be like, I don't care.
Right.
But I think people take someone saying, I don't care.
Oh, yeah, as you caring.
As them caring. I do think that the way that Katie is discussed or talked about in the media, a narrative is almost like created around him. And I hate using people say that,
but I know
do
what you mean.
Think that's true about him. And that's why I liked the interview that we did so much, because that is what he actually acts like. He's not serious at all. He laughs. He just talks, literally, he just talks about basketball and music and just like tries to enjoy life.
Yeah.
He's chill. Like, I think if you met him and he wasn't KD, you would actually really enjoy being around him, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, I've had some other people like tell me something similar about him. I met him briefly when he came here to the office one time. And see, I guess Durant's like 7-8 years. I want to say he's 8 years younger than me. So I got enough distance in viewing him.
Yeah.
I just hope that dude finds the happy. Because like from this, because what it seems to me from here is that what he's searching for is really the happy. And he thought that ball in these ways, and I feel like, like this happens to a lot of people in different ways. He thought that that would get him to the places where the happy were. And then you get there, like Golden State, right? Like I imagine that he looks at Golden State and is like, yo, it was a great time for playing basketball because that's what matters to him. But I felt like what he thought he was going to find when he got there, he just didn't. And at some point, he's like 31 years old, so he's not like crazy old, but at some point, he's going to find what that is. But I look at him and I really just stop. And like I read Marcus Thompson's book, you know, and all that stuff. And I was just like, yeah, I just hope he finds the happy that he's looking for. And I think it's hard to be a guy like him looking for the happy when people can tell that you're looking for the happy. Because people are like, yo, you got everything. You're the coldest basketball player in the world. And he is. I will say this. There's never been a basketball player as cold as Kevin Durant who didn't give off that a particular kind of star, if that makes sense, right? Like there's a cocky that's not, in spite of him knowing how cold he is at basketball, it doesn't transfer over like to the rest of the life that we see from him, which is different from literally every other basketball player I can think of.
I will say though, I think everyone is like looking for the happy.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think he is unique in that aspect. It's just played out so heavily in front of us. And I don't know if he's looking for the happy, you know, I don't know if KD is happy or unhappy, but I do feel like I try to look at everything in sports through the lens of literally a normal person.
Right.
And so many of the things that I think known people, professional athletes, everybody gets kind of crucified for and all that stuff is things that we all deal with every single day.
Right.
So I always try my best to be like, I understand this because like I've done this or my friend has done this.
Right.
You know what I mean? And I just think that applies to KD heavily, like very, very heavily, that a lot of people do what KD does. But since he's KD, it's like,
I think there's something to that. We do expect him to be a certain type of dude because of how cold he is at playing basketball. Because everybody else we know that's cold at playing basketball. Like, I think there's something to that. I also think I got a strategy for him. He need to lean in on not brushing his hair. And here's why I say that. I'm telling you, think about this, right? We need a new Rashid, right? Like, we need that dude that just be out here.
When I asked, because I play this segment on the show called True or False and Why. And so I said, true or false and why you don't brush your hair. First off, he looked at me like, are you serious? Then he said, that's false. I do brush my hair. I was like, okay. He's like, well, it's because when you see me or when people see me, it's at games. When I go to games, he goes, I literally roll out of bed and I go to the game. Like, I'm not worried about brushing my hair. I wear sweats. I wear whatever. I go to the game. But I'm like, I actually like that. I'm like, good, you're just here to hoop. Like you said, just lean into the fact that when you go into games, you just go into hoop. Like, I'm not trying to be cute. Like, I'm just going to hoop.
And by the way, just because you brush your hair every now and then, that don't count as brushing your hair. Like, that's what I heard right there, right? Like, if you brush your hair, it's a lifestyle. Like, when people are like, do you brush your hair? It's a lifestyle. Before I go somewhere, I brush my hair. He's not the dude who does that. Therefore, you don't brush your hair. And I mean, look, you're 7 feet tall. We might not even notice, right?
Yeah.
But you the dude that don't brush your hair, so lean into it. Be Rashid Wallace about this. In Philly, they call him Dirty Rosh.
That's
right?
So funny.
That, like, be that guy.
Yeah.
Like, if we could get Kevin Durant to be the new Dirty Rosh, that would be great. Everybody loves Sheed.
That's one of the things, like, one of the reasons I really liked the KD episode was I just asked him a whole bunch of things people were wondering. You know, like the hair are at the end. I read like those old embarrassing tweets and when he was talking about having bubble guts and wondering if he had any slippage. Like, so I was just like, and I feel like this with all my episodes, I can genuinely say about myself, I will ask anything. Like, I'm not scared asking whether it's embarrassing, whether it maybe comes off as a question I shouldn't ask. I really do not care. I'll ask whatever. And I think I appreciated that episode because I asked such funny, like, embarrassing things. It just, like, humanized him a little bit more. So that was one of my favorites. Chris Paul's episode might be my favorite so far. They're all my favorites, but I really liked the CP episode, just the pacing, the feel, but the KD one was good.
All right, in a minute, we'll be back with more with Taylor Rooks. But first, tired of that 230 feeling? You're not alone. In fact, research shows that more than 70% of us hit the wall after lunch. Let a 5-hour energy shot help you leap over that wall instead of crashing into it. Anyone who travels frequently knows how tiring it can be. Whether you're on business or on vacation, 5-hour energy shot can help you stay alert and energized wherever you may be headed. 5-hour energy helps you get through your crazy on-the-go life with zero sugar, 4 calories, and a convenient portable size is the perfect pick-me-up for busy, hard-working people. Now it comes in 2 extra-strength tropical tastes. Strawberry banana and tropical burst. They're great. They are delicious and can take you to a tropical on-the-go experience. Try them both, then go online to shop5hourenergy.com and use the code BOMANI to receive a one-time offer of 10% off your order. That's shop5hourenergy.com. Use the code BOMANI. Go to shop5hourenergy.com and use the code BOMANI to receive a one-time offer of 10%. 5-Hour Energy. Energy on the go.
Now, let me ask you this. Like, I used to do my buddy Combat Jack, rest in peace, yeah. Combat Jack. I've been doing stuff with him for a long time. He'd always do, we'd do one interview a year, and he would check in and just, like, see how things were going with me because he got there early and he was, you know, he's watching the things change and everything else. So I'm going to do this with you.
Okay.
How has your year been? Because it's blowing up for you. Like things are happening.
My year has been good. It's been wild. I've learned a lot, both personally and professionally. But it is crazy. Like, I try to check in with myself every year just because when we talked about this before, life has moved super fast for me. And I feel like I've never really gotten a chance to just be still, you know? Sometimes it's been a lot, but I genuinely feel like what I do like this, I was absolutely built for this, like in all aspects of it. I've learned a lot about like the way you have to move and the way that you can't move. And I don't know. It's been a weird year, but it's been very good overall.
Do you feel like you're a famous person yet?
No, I feel like I'm a known person. I think that for whatever reason, people care a lot about what I'm doing in my life outside of sports, which can be annoying at times. Just because, and I know we've discussed this, like sometimes when people meet me, it's not even wanting to ask about what I do. It's like wanting to like compliment me on things that have nothing to do with work. And they think that that's a compliment, but I'd really rather just not talk about that aspect. Or people want to talk to me about me, but not like NBA or NFL. Like me has just become such a focus of everything. Like it's wild. It's wild the things that people will say or imply. Like I remember like 2 years ago, there was an article that like me and KD were boyfriend and girlfriend. I've never dated Katie in my life. Mm-hmm. Like, there's always something. And there's always someone speculating something. The thing that I don't understand the most is this idea that if you're doing your job, I, a sports interviewer, and interviewing a sports figure, oh, they together.
Right.
Oh, like, is that her man? No. Like, it's just a person that I'm interviewing because it's literally my job.
Right.
And so that is annoying, that just that there's always this focus on like everything except the interview.
Right.
I think I am definitely over that. But that's why literally I never read comments unless they're from people that I follow or whatever. Mm-hmm. I never, ever read comments. I try not to really read tweets unless it's like me engaging in a tweet where I ask a question and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Just because through time I've learned to not care. And I don't know if it's necessarily healthy. But I don't know if I'd call myself a famous person, but I do think I'm a known person or like a public person. But I don't know if I think I'm famous.
Have you had a moment like recently, a moment where you're like, wait a minute, this person knows who I am?
Yeah, I remember All-Star last year. J. Cole came up to me and knew who I was. That was really cool. Yeah, I mean, and it sounds weird to say, but like, yeah, I'll go into rooms with people. And a lot of them have seen my, like, interviews. You know, like, I remember when I met Drake the first time, he knew who I was. But you just kind of become a part of these, like, you're just kind of in these rooms and people just, no, I will say that, and maybe half of it, I don't want to use the word fault, but for lack of a better word, some of the reason I think people care so much about my life has been my fault. I think I have put a lot of myself out there. But I also do that on purpose because I feel like as an interviewer and somebody who asks people questions and wants to know your life, it's only fair that it's like a mutual relationship. Like, I think that if I'm going to ask you questions, I should also answer questions. Right. Or like, if I want to know all these things that you have done, it's only fair that I talk about things that I have done too.
Right.
Like, I don't really shy away from topics. I'll talk about things that are maybe uncomfortable or embarrassing for me. And I genuinely think it makes people feel more open when they talk to me,
right.
If that makes sense.
No, it does.
I wonder how long you're going to do it, though. Because
yeah.
I used to, everybody got close to all of it, right? Like, to a point where I needed to come up with some fun fact for something, and I couldn't think of anything. And I was like, hey, strangers, you guys know my life. What are some fun facts about me? And I was like, oh, there's the answer right there, right?
Yeah.
Like, and then I stopped, right? I was just like, nah, I gotta take the power back on this one. It just, it got, I think for me, it got to be a place, and I wonder if this probably happened to you also. Like, it became hard to meet people because they knew so much more about me off the rip. And so there was no, like, natural rhythm in the conversation, right? Whether this is me talking to a woman or whoever it happened to be, there was no rhythm. There was no give and take on it. And it just kind of, and then I just looked up. I was just like, wow, they know a lot about me.
1,000%.
And I didn't know how much, like, that wasn't fun for me after a point, but I started small. Like, I was doing, you know, local radio and doing these satellite things and these YouTube things. And so the community was then really, really little. Like, Tom Skoka, I think it's Skoka or Skaka, I'm not sure which, but he wrote something really interesting in Slate about the last decade being the decade of fame. And he said, one thing that happens, though, for people is that everybody can become famous now because of social media and all this. And then after a while, though, it gets to be too much. And then you just have to dial it back a little bit, you know, because it becomes not just about you, the people around you. And the next thing you know, it's all dialed all the way back.
Yeah.
I am back. I'm in the full retreat. So I'll be curious to see for you just how much of that, like, what becomes the comfortable level? Because I don't think anybody knows until they're in it what's not comfortable.
I definitely have a level. Like, that's why I think it's interesting that people are so consumed with my personal life, meaning, like, quote unquote, love life.
Mm-hmm.
Because if I liked someone or was with someone, literally you wouldn't know.
Yeah.
There is no person anyone has ever said I was with that I was with or had been with or liked or anything. That's something that I feel like I keep fairly personal. I try not to talk about my family a lot. I'll talk about work and my friends and things I feel like can be out there, but things happen in my, you see maybe 10% of what happens in like 90% of my day. Mm-hmm. You know, there's some things I'm just genuinely not comfortable showing. And I feel like I do have that line, but so much of why people relate to you or connect to you is because you're open. Like I do, right. I do really, really believe that. I think what you said was interesting, though, about, like, if you meet a woman, like, you feel like she just already knows so much about you or whoever you're meeting. And what I've kind of learned through that is you have to know when somebody, like, really likes you or if they're fascinated by you.
Yeah.
And one of the reasons you have to know is because I don't think they always know.
Right.
They can't always tell which one it is. And I think it's honestly really hard to date. I feel like we always end up talking about dating. But when you are somebody who is a known person, people feel like they already know you.
Yeah.
And in no world are you going to live up to what they think you are.
Yeah.
There's just, there's no way that, because when people don't know you, they start filling in the gaps with the stuff that they don't know. And really, you got to let someone else fill in their own gaps.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I just, Taylor Rooks isn't the Taylor Rooks all the time.
Yeah.
But that's what you're expecting because you follow me online and see the tweets and blah, blah. And it's just really hard when someone knows so much about you. Unlearning is difficult.
Yeah. So what you got coming next?
What do I have coming next? More episodes of the show. It's every Wednesday. Drops at, I should know this, I think 11 a.m. every Wednesday is when it originally comes out. I have some stuff I'm doing at Final Four. I'm probably going to do some of the Twitter live show for the finals. So it's really just working. You know, it's like such a grind until the show is done being taped, which is the end of March for me. And then maybe a vacation. I got to figure out where I want to go.
Well, you know, I think I've told you where I think the end game is for you. Gabe, get ready to play the music again.
Thank you for your patience. A representative from the right time will be with you shortly. Your current hold time is
15 seconds.
I want to interview people. And I want to get to a space where I can interview people, anyone, everyone, in a place where everyone can see. And I know, like, what I'm doing right now is the closest thing I've ever had to feeling like that's my purpose. I love talking to people. I love getting people to open up. I love making people feel comfortable. It's just something that I think has always come super natural to me. I genuinely like people. I know it's like the cool thing to be like, I hate people, but I like people. And I like being good to people and making people feel like I'm always just trying to understand versus always trying to judge. And I think that's one thing that happens in interviews is you're always blocked off because you think the person is trying to get you or make you look bad or say your decision was right or wrong. When really, I don't care if it's right or wrong. I just want to know why you did it.
Right.
Like, I really just want everyone to be human. And that's why I like doing interviews so much.
Look, I appreciate you stopping through. That is Taylor Rooks. Take it there with Taylor Rooks. She says Wednesday at 11 every week. That's when the new episodes come out. I really do thank you for stopping by and joining us.
Thank you for having me.
No problem. And ladies and gentlemen, thanks so much for joining us here on The Right Time. We do this thing a couple times a week. My man Gabe Bassain handles everything behind the scenes. Thank you, sir. Also, thank you again to Taylor Rooks. Also, thank you to our sponsors, My Computer Career. Thanks to ZipRecruiter. Thanks to 5-Hour Energy. Also, subscribe to The Right Time. Rate us, review us, give us 5 stars. You only give us 4 stars. I'm inclined to think you are a hater. We'll talk to you guys in a couple of days. Take it easy.
Thanks for checking out The Right Time with Bomani Jones Podcast.
You can listen or subscribe on the ESPN app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
The Right Time
with Bomani Jones.